Hello everyone, you're listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by MyBookie and Draft. My name is Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Fantasy Football Beat, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest matchups of the week. On this week's show, that matchup will be the New York Jets hosting the New England Patriots, both teams tied with the Buffalo Bills at the top of that division, all standing on 3-2 at the moment. I'll be joined by Daryl Slater of the New Jersey Advance Media to discuss the game. Looking forward to doing that as we look into the game and look at the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide this one. We'll be talking about the running back situations for both teams, the surprise start for the Jets to the season, and we're looking at both the defenses to see how they go. And then after I talk with Daryl, I'll be taking a few moments to discuss using some of the RotoViz apps and diving a little bit deeper into the game from a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can find out all the great apps, all the great content, just by visiting the site at rotoviz.com. I mentioned already about the both teams being tied at 3-2 at the top of the division. You would think heading into this one that both teams are evenly ranked. We know prior to the season that wasn't the case. We still know now that will not be the case, as the New England Patriots are heavily favoured heading into this one. 9.5-point favourites on the road. Something you don't see much with a favourite going on the road with such a big spread. But it's a short journey for the Patriots. We'll see how they cope. They also had the extra rest after that Thursday night win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. So they are a -460 favourite on the money line. It is +335 for the Jets. So if you fancy the Jets to pick off the Patriots this week and make a little bit of money, that option is there for you. There is a 47.5-point over-under in this, so there will be opportunities there from a fantasy football perspective to get some good fantasy production in this one, and I'll be talking a lot more about that after I finish up talking with Daryl. So if you like those odds one way or another, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Jets, whether it's the over-under, whether it's maybe a different NFL game coming up this week that you feel that you have the edge over what the people out in Vegas think, you can sign up to MyBookie. They, as I mentioned on previous shows, are literally MyBookie. They are MyBookie.ag. You can sign up. It is the sportsbook I use, and they have fast payouts, everything you need from an in-game live betting perspective, an awesome new mobile app, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. If you sign up now using my code ROTOBEAT, then MyBookie will match your first deposit with up to 100%. They will also throw in a $25 casino chip to use, and the casino chip I mentioned on last week's show, a lot of fun. Some great games there. If you like to play a little poker, like a bit of cards, maybe you just want to have a go on the roulette wheel, a $25 chip is included in that bonus if you use the code ROTOBEAT. So get your bonus matched up, get that little bonus chip as well, and have some fun this week as the games go on. So use the promo code, as I mentioned there already, ROTOBEAT, and it is mybookie.ag. So let's dive a little bit deeper into it now with Daryl. Delighted to be joined now on the show by Daryl Slater of the New Jersey Advance Media. We're going to be talking about the Patriots and the New York Jets coming up here now in Week 6. And it's been a bit of a surprise start to the season for the Jets. First of all, I want to welcome you aboard the show.
Thank you for having me.
Obviously, I mentioned there, a bit of a surprise start for the Jets. You know, we thought maybe, I talked to you in the RV32 series in the preseason about the Jets, and we kind of thought that you did mention that this team could, you know, have a 5-win potential, I think it was at the time, and I kind of thought that they were heading for that first overall draft pick, but now they're joint top of the AFC East, the three teams in this division, along with the Buffalo Bills at 3-2 as we enter Week 6. It's been just a big surprise for a lot of people around the league, but how have you thought the Jets season has started off?
Yeah, certainly I would say a little surprise. I mean, I picked them to be 3-2 at the 5-game mark, and they're 3-2. I thought they would beat the Bills in the opener, and I thought they would beat the Dolphins and the Browns. They did beat the Dolphins and the Browns, but instead of the Bills, they beat the Jaguars, obviously. So I'm not entirely surprised, because the schedule here early on is favorable. They were starting a veteran quarterback in Josh McCown. It's not like they were doing what the Browns were doing and just rolling with a rookie quarterback with DeShone Kizer like they're doing in Cleveland, or did in Cleveland, at least till he got benched. But I'm not entirely surprised. I guess some of it surprises me to some degree, but I think, you know, with the way that Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, the general manager, overhauled this locker room, the chemistry is a lot better. So you saw a team that's 0-2 and got beat down pretty badly in Oakland, and you wonder, you know, could they hold it together? And they certainly did. They won 3 straight games. Now, obviously, a huge test coming up against the Patriots this week, and the schedule certainly gets tougher. But I'm not entirely surprised. Now, again, I still think the ceiling's pretty low. I don't think they're going to keep this up, but it's been a nice start for Todd Bowles and company.
Yeah, so as they head into week six, obviously the injury report for this week, I'm going off Thursday's injury report. You may have a little bit more detail to add into this as we record this early Friday, but the players who did not participate this week were defensive lineman Muhammad Wilkerson with a shoulder and a toe injury. Bilal Powell, the running back, has had a calf issue coming out of that Cleveland Browns game, and then limited participation Coney Ealy, who came over from the Patriots, he has been limited with a shoulder, and Matt Forte has been limited with that turf toe. So is any of those guys, do you know, the guys that did not participate, do you expect them to sit out this week, Bilal Powell and Mo Wilkerson, and how do you see then Coney Ealy and Matt Forte suiting up this week?
Well, the Jets haven't officially released, as we're talking now, their final injury report for this week, but I would be very surprised if Bilal Powell plays in this game. I think there's a better chance that Muhammad Wilkerson will play, but certainly not a lock. As far as Matt Forte and Coney Ealy, good sign for them that they were able to practice to at least some degree yesterday, even though they were limited. So I think both of those guys will play in this game, and the Jets certainly need Forte. He's been out for 2 weeks, and they certainly need him as they go up against the Patriots because, you know, as I just mentioned, they probably won't have Powell for this game.
Yeah, and then on the other side with the Patriots, the players who did not participate, just one of them as of Thursday, Eric Rowe, the cornerback, limited participation for Tom Brady with his shoulder issue. Tight end Rob Gronkowski has a thigh issue, which cost him that Thursday night football game he missed out against the Bucs, but is expected to play this week. And then Burkhead, Marcus Cannon, Stephen Gilmore, Dante Hightower, Landon Robertson, special teamer and wide receiver Matthew Slater are all limited for one reason or another, but I think at this moment in time it looks like they should all be good to go this week. The key matchups for this one when I'm looking into it is obviously an issue that has come out of this season so far after five games for the Jets has been penalties. It's one of the main flaws I've seen with this team, and they've been penalised 19 times through the last two contests. So what do you think they can do to try and clean up that issue? And, you know, the Patriots are going to be a tough team to beat regardless of giving up penalties. You can't really be, you know, averaging, you know, 8 or 9 penalties a game in the NFL.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's something that really bothers Todd Bowles, the Jets coach, that the fact that his team really puts itself behind the eight ball early on and puts itself in a tough position early on by doing that. I mean, they can't afford to do that. I mean, you look at their second drive in Cleveland. Their first two drives in Cleveland netted -3 and -13 yards. So you wonder, how do you have a -13-yard drive? Well, on that drive, they ran 3 actual plays, and they ran 3 snaps that, you know, didn't officially count as snaps because of penalties, 2 false starts and a holding call. It's just focus. I mean, especially a false start pre-snap penalty like that, that's just focus. I mean, right tackle Brandon Shell and right guard Brian Winters were the guilty parties there. And the Jets need to start faster, and eliminating those lack of focus penalties is a huge part of starting faster for this team. And we all know the Patriots offense is going to set a high bar for the Jets to clear. You know, this is not an offense that the Jets defense is going to hold to very few points. So the Jets need to start fast. And in order to do that on Thursday in practice, right after their stretching, normally they go into individual drills, which each position kind of goes into their own little drills type stuff. But instead of doing that on Thursday, John Morton, the offensive coordinator, got the offense together. Got the whole group of offense, all the offensive players together, and they ran some plays against no defense, sort of a full speed walkthrough, and just working on, you know, getting right out of the gate and starting faster. We'll see if it pays dividends. Certainly, the penalties have to go away, or else, look, this Patriots team's going to bury them if they make the kind of mistakes they did in Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And looking as well, an area of an issue for the last few games have been the Pats' offensive line. They've struggled to protect Tom Brady. He's getting hit a lot, probably among the most in his career behind that offensive line. An issue then for the Jets has been their D-line just not getting enough pressure on the quarterbacks. Last week, Brady sacked 3 times, and so he's now been sacked more this season, as I mentioned there, than he was in all 12 games of last season. So the Jets defense then, though, struggling to get the quarterback, 7 sacks through those 5 games, ranks them second to last in the NFL. So if you're looking at the Patriots offensive line and the Jets defensive line, who do you see coming out on top in this one come Sunday?
Well, that's an interesting one because both of those groups have really underachieved, as you've mentioned. You know, if the Jets can't get some sacks here, then they're going to be in trouble. I mean, look, 5 games in, and Muhammad Wilkerson has 0 sacks. Leonard Williams also 0 sacks. That's just unacceptable for the Jets. They cannot win games consistently when that happens. It's been the formula to beat Tom Brady for years that you have to move him off his spot in the pocket. You have to get to him. You have to hit him. You know, he can move around, but he's not a particularly mobile guy. That's been the formula for years to beat Brady, and it'll be the formula again if the Jets can do it. But like you said, they haven't had much success getting to the quarterback, especially their two big guys, their big sack guys, who they're counting on to be those guys, Wilkerson and Williams. So, yeah, I think the Jets will have opportunities to do it. One thing Leonard Williams mentioned was Tom Brady is holding the ball quite a bit in the pocket this year. You know, a lot of that comes from whether his receivers can get open. And 16 sacks, as you mentioned, through five games for Brady compared to 15 in the 12 games he played last year because of suspension. So I think the Jets will have a chance to get him at least one or two times. Now, whether it'll make a difference in the game, we'll see.
Yeah, and as well, I mentioned earlier on the injury report, he's coming into this one with that AC joint sprain, so we'll see if that there does affect. And when you're looking at the two quarterbacks in this game, although Josh McCown is a veteran quarterback and can move this offense and has at times shown some nice play, then at times it reverts back to what we kind of expect to see. But Brady, obviously the quarterback coming out and winning that battle out of the two starters. On to the running backs, and you touched on it there with we talked about Bilal Powell probably missing this game, and obviously Matt Forte is an opportunity to be back in. There is big question marks, obviously, with the running back position heading into this one. Elijah McGuire has been in there as well, the rookie. So how do you see this as it goes on Sunday? Do you think we'll see Elijah McGuire get the start? Obviously, he will if Forte can't play, but if Forte plays, do you expect Forte to be in there with the lead role?
Yeah, I think Forte would start, and it looks like he's back from his turf toe injury that cost him the last two games. So he says he's full speed. That's what he told us. And I would expect him to get the start, but, you know, this is an offense that Powell, McGuire, and Forte were healthy. John Morton, their offensive coordinator, was not shy about really mixing up that group so that the carries were pretty equitably split. I think gone are the days when Forte is capable of being like a, you know, lead back in terms of carrying the workload fully. So the coaches understand that. He understands that. He understands that in order to stay fresh and stay effective at his age, he'll have to split the carries with some of these young guys. And I think that's what you'll see. I'm presuming Powell doesn't play. I think you'll see a situation where, you know, maybe Forte gets a few more carries than McGuire. But McGuire is going to be involved, no question.
Yeah, and the Jets did struggle to run the ball last week against the Browns, but the Patriots are been pretty much gashed on the run game, allowing an average of 124 yards per game, which is 24th in the NFL. So the Patriots are expected to continue to rotate their running backs, with Mike Gillisley being the lead runner on the ground, and then we'll see James White sprinkled in there as well in the passing game. I think we'll probably see in the next couple of weeks a little bit more of Deion Lewis rolled in there, and I mentioned Rex Burkhead as well, coming off that rib injury. We'll see if he gets some more passing down work as well. If you're looking at the wide receivers, it's Jermaine Kearse has obviously been leading the team since he came over from the Seahawks. He has 22 receptions. He's tied with Robbie Anderson coming in, both leading the team with 220 yards receiving. So Carly has looked the better out of the two, but the player that I'm interested in seeing what you think outside of those wide receivers is Austin Seferian-Jenkins, who after coming back from that suspension now has 15 catches and 106 yards and a touchdown. So how do you think he's just going to be basically a productive tight end, and the Jets haven't had that in quite some time?
Yeah, no question. I mean, shoot, the last time they had a productive tight end, maybe Dustin Keller, many moons ago. I think he could be a guy who can be very productive for him. I mean, with this West Coast offense that they run, Seferian-Jenkins is, he's your typical guy coming out of college now who is very much a pass-catching tight end. This is his 14, 15, 16, 17, fourth year in the NFL. And, you know, he's kind of learning at this point that you can't just be a pass catching tight end to thrive in the NFL. So many of these guys coming out of college are glorified receivers because of all the spread offenses that colleges run. And NFL teams, you know, they don't run those offenses. So these guys have to learn when they get to the NFL level the value of run blocking and pass blocking, but especially run blocking, because, you know, when you put your tight end in there, you know, you can't just tip it off to the opponent that it's going to be a passing play because the guy can't run block. And if they know he can't run block, that, you know, that's a huge tip off, and that tight end's not going to play. And that's what Seferian-Jenkins has really embraced, run blocking and mastering the skill of run blocking that has enabled him to play more, get on the field more, and boost his stats here. And it's a contract year for him. He had a really transformative off season where he quit drinking as of January and really lost a lot of weight, got his life together, and it's really paying dividends. So he's certainly a complimentary piece for a team that, you know, you mentioned the receivers. None of those guys will make you, you know, say ooh and ah, but Curley's been fine and Curse has been fine and Anderson's been fine. But they, when you only have fine receivers, you need a tight end to kind of throw in and chip in. And Seferian Jenkins has kind of been that so far.
Yeah, I think it looks like he might, like, as the season progresses, become almost the lead passing option in this offense. And you mentioned the changes he's made. It looks like he's really starting to get things together in his life. So it's all been very good to see and positive to see from what he's been able to do on the field. So on the other side of it, they're going up against a Patriots defense who have really struggled. I mentioned already how they've struggled against the run, but they've been really, you know, pretty much lit up against the pass too. We've seen against the Buccaneers in Thursday Night Football last week that they kind of obviously started to drop back to corners, drop back to safety a little bit deeper, and just decided we're not going to give up that deep pass and we're going to make you work it down the field. But did you see anything? If you did manage to catch that game on Thursday Night Football, did you think that they had improved, or do you think that there is opportunities there for this Jets passing attack to take advantage there?
Oh, I think there's no question there's opportunities for the Jets to take advantage of what the Patriots defense has done. I mean, you know, more appropriately, hasn't done so far. I mean, this has been an uncharacteristic performance from Bill Belichick defense, and I'm sure he's very, very peeved in New England about what's going on right now with his defense. But they, you know, look, I mean, the Jets offense is no great juggernaut. I mean, this is a team that scored 3 points in the first half against the Browns last week. So I don't think the Jets can look at the Patriots and say, you know, this is a chance where we're going to light this team up. They didn't light up the Browns. So the Jets have to kind of work on their own house and get their own stuff together. And then, you know, maybe, just maybe, they could have some opportunities against the Patriots defense that isn't as strong as usual.
Yeah, and Rob Gronkowski expected back in this one. And after the draft, rookie Jamal Adams talked about, you know, the possibility of getting to face off in the division against Gronkowski on Sunday. He should get that opportunity. Do you think that after he's coming off his toughest game as a pro, David Njoku kind of burned him on that touchdown pass last week, do you think there's any possibility that he can contain Gronk, or is this a real area of concern for the Jets going into this one?
And I think it's crazy. Gronkowski is just such a freakish player, and he's so unique among tight ends in the NFL that I think it's a concern for any team any week. But with a rookie safety, I think even as well as Adams has played, and he was fantastic before the Browns game. It was a hiccup for him. In Cleveland, obviously, didn't play well. But I think even for a guy who's got as much talent as he does and who's played as well early on in his career as he has, the test covering Gronkowski is a whole different animal. And I think the Jets, you know, rightly should be concerned about it. They might have to dedicate a couple defenders to Gronkowski's side of the field. You know, of course, that leaves Brandon Cooks and Amendola and those guys available. So the Jets have to kind of pick their poison with this Patriots offense because it is such a prolific offense. And I think Adams, you know, look, mentally he'll be up to the task, but this will be a huge test for Adams of his coverage. That was the question mark about him in the NFL. Can he cover? And he has done an all right job of it so far. You know, obviously the Njoku play, Njoku got behind him. You know, he lost track of him. Bad eyes there by Adams on that play. But big test here. I don't think anyone's expecting Jamal Adams to hold him, Gronkowski, to 2 or 3 catches. But if they can limit his game-changing plays, I think the Jets will take that.
Yeah, I think that's fair, you know, when you're looking at it from that perspective. Another question I have is, obviously, this team is nearly there to what they match in what they had last year. They had 5 wins last year. They're 2 wins away from that. The offense has been largely better than expected, and the defense, especially the secondary, has improved a lot over what it did last season. Is Todd Bowles' job already safe for 2018?
No, definitely not. I mean, they could go out and lose every game the rest of the way, and it could turn into a disaster on the field. And, you know, even if they're together in the locker room and all that, I think, you know, he could still cost himself his job if his team doesn't put together some more wins. You know, they're only through 5 weeks. They got 11 games to go. And there are winnable games ahead. You know, you look at the Chargers later in the season, you look at the Dolphins team, it's been a mess. So, I think they lose to the Patriots this week. They'll be 3-3. They got a very good chance the next week to win in Miami. That would put them at 4-3 through 7 weeks. And certainly within reasonable striking distance of getting to 6 wins if you put the Charger game in there, and then maybe one other one if they can steal another one that at some point in their final 9. But I think if he gets to 6, his job should be safe with the roster that he has. I just don't see any way as long as the locker room stays together, and we all know it did not last year. But I think he should be safe at six, but you know, we'll see how it all unfolds.
Yeah, and then finally I'm going to get your prediction. The Jets haven't scored more than 23 points in a game this season, and it's like you kind of touched on it earlier, it's probably going to take more than 23 to take down Tom Brady and the Patriots team. So I don't expect them to be able to hold the Patriots below the 30 mark. So with that, I have to go for a New England Patriots win in this one. Do you think it's going to roll the way in New England? And just one other question as we wrap up here. Is there any areas maybe that we haven't mentioned that are key to deciding this game?
Yeah, I think, number one, I think the Patriots win, say, 35-21. I just don't think the Jets will be able to score enough points to keep up with that really good Patriots offense. I think the Jets will be able to score a little bit more than they had been against the Patriots defense, but, I don't think they'll be able to keep pace with Brady and company, and the spread is 9.5 and for the Patriots, and I think the Patriots cover that fairly handily and win by 14, 35-21. In terms of stuff we haven't talked about, one interesting angle, and this is something you know Bill Belichick's paying attention to up in New England this week, because he is certainly a guy who is astute in terms of special teams, is the fact that the Jets special teams have been much better this year. In terms of Football Outsiders, their DVOA ratings, the Jets last year were 31st in the league. Second worst in the league is where they finished last year in special teams rating in terms of the all-encompassing performance of their special teams, and this year they're 10th. So Brant Boyer, the special teams coordinator, has really done a nice job here in his second year on the job, fixing the problems in the Jets' special teams. They have a new kicker in Chandler Catanzaro, who was a mess last year in Arizona and has been excellent. He's 10 of 12. He's made 2 of 2 field goals from 50 yards and out. He had a 57-yarder last week in Cleveland. He's been very, very good. Their punter, Lachlan Edwards, was the worst in the league last year in terms of yards per punt at 40, and he's 7 better than that. He's at 47 yards per punt now. He's 9th in the league. And that's enormous for a team that is offensively limited, like the Jets are, to be able to have a punter that can control field position and a field goal kicker you can rely on in a big spot to make a deep kick, or at least you have been able to rely on them so far. That's enormous. So I think that's something that if this is a close game, that could tip it in the Jets' favor. And you know Bill Belichick recognizes that as a guy who certainly admires strong special teams play.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, a point of emphasis always with him is special teams. So that's a very good point as we wrap this up. You also mentioned Catanzaro, who has really turned things around as a kicker for the Jets. He struggled with Arizona last year. And then obviously we've seen former Jets kicker Nick Folk struggle down with the Buccaneers. Yeah. So it's interesting to see how that can turn around so quickly. Such a confidence-based position to play. So, Daryl, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Lots of great information there you provided us with. Thanks once again.
Thank you for having me.
That was Daryl Slater of the New Jersey Advanced Media. A lot of good information. I talked to him as well prior with the preseason project that we did, the RV32, covering all the teams in the NFL in the preseason, and I did do the Jets edition off that. So I had talked to him previously, and lots of great information again there. You can follow him, as I mentioned, on Twitter at Daryl Slater. In just a moment, I'm going to dive into what we discussed using some of the apps on rotoviz.com, but the season is already here. We're running through it. We're 6 weeks in. It's hard to believe it's 6 weeks in, but it's still a perfect time to sign up to a RotoViz NFL Pass, which you can get right now for a 30% discount. All you have to do is head on over to rotoviz.com/podcast. That gives you 30% off as you sign up to the pass. That will give you access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it supports the pod. It is for listeners of the podcast only, so do jump on board at rotoviz.com/podcast. Get yourself a nice 30% discount. We're giving out lots of little freebies on the show today. 30% off just for going to rotoviz.com/podcast. Doesn't get much better than that. And those tools and content will help get you along to help you win a championship this season. So I use all those tools on a weekly basis, and I can't recommend them enough. So be sure to check that out. So let's get into the projections, and I'm going to kind of run my projections based on this again. Last week I used the GLSP or the Gillespie apps on rotoviz.com, and there was a lot of positive feedback to that. Again, I mentioned at the end of last week's show, if there's any apps you want to hear used on the show, be sure and send me a message at Overtime Ireland on Twitter, and I'll be trying to implement it in as I can as we go forward throughout the season. Get a little bit of feedback on all the different apps that people want to hear, so looking forward to that as well. So when we're going through it here, and I'm going to kind of do this, we know what we're going to get with the Patriots. The Patriots favored in this game by 9.5 points with the folks out there in Las Vegas, and when we look through it, you know what you get with Tom Brady if you have him in your roster, your starter. starting him. If you have Gronk, you're starting him. Pretty much if you have Hogan, you're going to continue to start him. Chris Hogan is now the first New England Patriot not named Rob Gronkowski to catch a touchdown in four straight games since Randy Moss in 2007. So Brady has really his trust and he's looking to him very, very regularly, whether inside the red zone or outside the red zone. Tom Brady has now thrown for 300 yards in four straight games for the first time since 2013. So as long as streak of such as five games that he did back in 2009. So, you know, you're trusting these guys. The problem is the running back position for the Patriots. Who can you trust there? And it's very, very tough. James White, somebody I've been plugging into my lineup. If you're playing in a PPR league, that is a safe option. I do go and roll with that again this week. But, you know, Gillislee, and this is the game script you thought at the start of the year. We're looking back to LeGarrette Blount last year. You want the Patriots to be a heavy favorite. You want them to be trying to salt away the game at the end. But with Gillislee, he started the season week one, monster week, 22.5 points in fantasy. And since that, he has scored over the last four games, just 26.1 fantasy points. So it's very, very hard to trust him and put him in your lineups, even in this, which you should think should be a favorable matchup. I'm not playing Gillislee, and I don't own him in any leagues, but I wouldn't be playing him if I did. So proceed there with caution if you decide to do so. I think you'll get a reasonable return out of Brandon Cooks this week. But he's caught three or fewer passes in three of his five games. So he had that one big game against the Texans. So it's just a little bit tough to go in there and fully trust Brandon Cooks. But you drafted him high up in your drafts, and you probably don't have better options at the wide receiver position this week. So he is somebody as well that you're probably slotting in there in the flex position. And he's somebody who can have those monster weeks, and that is a possibility in this one against the Jets secondary. So you could get the dud, but it's more than likely this is going to be one of his up weeks for the Patriots and Brandon Cooks. So I want to use the apps to run through the players here on the Jets side of things, because I think the Patriots is more easily explainable. And Josh McCown, starting off with the quarterback, he's somebody who, you know, people not watching the Jets on a weekly basis, not paying close attention, might think that, you know, oh, it's Josh McCown, he's no good, he sucks. But the fact of the matter is that only him and Alex Smith have completed at least two-thirds of their passes, so that's above 66% passing in every game they've played this season, which, you know, a lot of these passes are short passes, but still, he's getting completions and he's going to be able to move the ball against this Patriots defense. And to do that, he's going to have to be able to work it through his passing options. Before we get to those passing options, though, we're looking at his projections on the GLSP app. You type in Josh McCown into the QB model, and it's coming up here in front of me that in a 6-point passing touchdown or 4-point passing touchdown options, I'm going for the 6-point passing touchdown for this particular option, and his low this week is 14.7. I think that's quite reasonable, but I think you'll see him start to get close to the high, which is 26.1 points. And the reason I'm saying that is because even if they do fall behind, you can get those garbage time opportunities. But I do think even when it's not garbage time, they're going to have the opportunity to move the ball, as I will do and talk about as I progress now through his pass catching option. So I definitely think Josh McCown is a streamable option this week with teams on bye. So definitely don't be afraid, in my opinion, to plug him into those lineups. I've seen enough to concern me with this Patriots defense that I'll be targeting them quite often this season with my streamer options, whether it's quarterback or whether it's pass catching options. They have really struggled against running backs this season, and obviously we talked there about the uncertainty in the backfield, and you know, Elijah McGuire could end up getting a really big workload in this if Forte can't go, but the signs look like Forte will be there, so it's going to be a split backfield. It's going to be tough to trust either of them, but again, this Patriots defense has really struggled against the run. Their linebacking position is, you know, quite slow. They're struggling to make it to the perimeter if the play breaks that way. So we'll see how it breaks down. If you're stuck, if you're needing to put somebody into that flex position, I'm rolling out either option there of Forte or McGuire. If I had to pick one, I'd be going with McGuire just because he's coming in healthier. He's looked fresh so far when he's got those opportunities. So I would just wish it was a Bilal Powell game this week, and I own Bilal Powell in so many leagues, but he's going to have to be on the sidelines for this one. So you can roll out either of the running backs there at the flex position. If you're looking at the wide receiver position, you can slot in Jermaine Kearse. He's looked pretty solid since coming over from the Seahawks in that trade. He's the leading receiver. I mentioned he has 22 catches, 220 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So he's a good chain mover for Josh McCown. I think this week he's going to be needed to help pick up first downs as well as try and get in the end zone to put those points on the board. And I've touched on it a few times as well when we're talking about points on the board. The New England defense is currently ranked last in passing yards allowed, surrendering 323 yards per game. So they've also given up a league worst 12 passing touchdowns. So try and get those pass catching options of the Jets in if you want to do a bit of a contrarian play this week in fantasy. Finally, the last Jet I want to talk about is Austin Seferian Jenkins, and he's going to be my star play this week on draft. And I've mentioned it in the last few shows. I've been playing it each and every week. It's a lot of fun playing on draft. I know you can play it on the app, which is a lot of fun. You can get it in the draft store by just searching app, but I do a lot of work at my laptop, whether it's podcast work, whether it's setting lineups, whether it's just emails back and forth between all the people at RotoViz. I'm on the laptop a lot, so I like to do it on playdraft.com, and it's a nice interface there, nice and easy to use. And for a limited time only, you get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you need to use the code RVRadio. So play a real money game for free using that promo code RVRadio while you put in your first deposit. Snake draft format, and it mixes it up then with best ball as you basically just do your draft, set it and forget it. You don't even have to set it. It sets your best lineup after the contest ends, and drafts start from as little as $1. So there is pretty much a draft there for everyone. So once again, that code is RVRadio, and that is playdraft.com. And I mentioned playdraft.com because my star player of the week this week is Austin Seferian Jenkins. Try and get him into as many lineups as you can if you're drafting. You'll remember back that ASJ was a monster prospect coming out of Washington. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected him in the second round in 2014. So he's had his off-the-field issues. He's got things going back together. But since he returned in week three, from his suspension, he cemented himself as, basically at the top of the pecking order for the Jets and targets. And in a game where they're going to need to move the ball, they're going to need to give it to their tight end. In three games since he came back, he's been targeted 18 times. He's turned that into 15 receptions, 106 yards, and a touchdown. The numbers aren't eye-popping, but, you know, at this point, I think the usage rate is going to be really good. He's getting six targets a game on average, and that's going to work well against this Patriots defense. And I mentioned the linebacking core has struggled against speed, and there's no doubt about it that ASJ has some speed to burn if he gets that opportunity. I think there's a possibility that he could hit double-digit targets for this game, and that has happened three times this season, and they have surrendered four touchdowns to tight ends this season. So I think he is, without a doubt, a player that I am playing this week with confidence if I can fit him in to those lineups. Just taking a quick look at the GLSP app and having him up here over the last two games, it gives his projections then in PPR leagues. His low is in here at 4.6, and I really can't see that happening barring injury unless he just doesn't turn up at all. The median is 9.3, but I think he's getting closer. A bit like I mentioned with Josh McCown, to that high, which is 16. I mentioned possibly double-digit targets in this one, which I do expect him to get a minimum of 6, and then that can work its way up. I think he's going to be looked at a lot in this game by Josh McCown. So if you're playing PPR and he catches 8 balls, you're already halfway there. If he catches a touchdown, you're basically at that mark, and then if you add in those yards, you're plain sailing. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him hit the high teens this week. So my star play on draft this week is Austin Seferian Jenkins. Be sure and get him in your lineups, and if you're playing daily fantasy sports as well, feel free to slot him in there. I think he's going to be a good value against a kind of porous New England defense, and even though they're trying to shore things up, I think it's going to still take a number of weeks to get things worked into perspective. So that is my play of the week, ASJ, in week 6. That's going to do it for the week 6 edition of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat. And thanks again to Daryl Slater for joining me in the show. And of course, this should be a fascinating game this weekend. Whoever wins will go to the top of the division for at least 1 week here as the Bills on that bye, as I mentioned. So it's going to be a good contest. More than likely, the Patriots do come out and top in this one. But hopefully you enjoyed the show, and hopefully you'll be back next week for the next edition of the Fantasy Football Beat. My name's Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Until then, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or on your favourite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the podcast by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.